were discussions about compatibility in the district, so it was more to do with maybe a discussion of massing and scale and how that building fits into the district.
So they might have been able to reach the full height if the massing had been changed?
Yeah. I mean,
here's my question. It's a historic district, so there's additional considerations, but we've given it this zoning. So why wouldn't we have just downzoned if we didn't feel building to the full height was appropriate to the neighborhood rather than have a kind of de facto downzoning?
I can speak to that, actually, because
yeah,
I was there.
Because
I argued to downzone it.
Huh?
I argued to downzone it, and my colleagues outvoted me and said that let's just see what they can come up with. And so this is what they've come up with, and I'm actually quite happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, interesting.
But that was the concern was to allow design flexibility, that it was theoretically possible to build it higher if it was skinnier or something.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. I wasn't here in 2015.
Any
it does allow
questions?
Them to keep the butt prager, right? Because, you know, it's a lower building, and so, and it's an it's expensive thing to up to renovate and keep that building. So it's a.
Legal counsel, I assume you want us to restate Commissioner Saltzman's motion in land use speak. Is that correct?
Yes. And if I may, I did speak with the applicant, and I have a potential condition that might solve issues. I don't know if it would be satisfy everyone's concerns, but I'd like to at least offer it because the applicant has.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. So understanding that the loading dock is based on the size of the units, and hearing that the applicant does not anticipate internal conversions, it could be that if there are internal conversions, which would trigger a building permit, that substantially reduce the number of studio apartments, then an additional land use review would be required of that adjustment. So it's...
They would be willing to have that?
Yes.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
So make sure BDS is... Yeah, so we would, that's true. We would just need to identify what substantially, how many units is reduced. So right now, I think they are proposing 148 units.
Yeah.
So I don't know what council thinks at what point that should trigger once there's internal conversions that would trigger an additional land use review of the loading dock, but 50% reduction. Okay. So how many units is in that building? 48. Okay. So there's 48 units. And okay. Sorry, I would actually like BDS staff to explain that better because they can speak more to the specifics of the application, where the loading spaces are.
So I'm just going to refer to PBOT's response to the adjustment because it's PBOT that actually BDS staff looks to PBOT for approving an adjustment to loading. And so I just kind of want to go back to – so the North Building has 100 units, and so that loading space being provided on the north is for those 100 units in that North Building. So the trigger is once you go over 100 units, you need two type Bs. If you're 100 units or less, you need one type B space. So that one type B space meets the loading needs of the North Building. So since they're over at 148, the 48 units, which are not really being served by that loading space because there's a height difference and it won't really work to use that loading bay for the south building and the Buck Prager. The adjustment is really for those 48 units. So I would say you would want to talk to the numbers of those 48 units.
I would be happy with that. Would the applicant be happy with that?
Yeah, so I think what we're trying to identify is whether or not there, at what that substantial reduction would trigger that additional land use review of the loading space. So knowing that you're starting with 48 units, is it when there are fewer than 20 studio apartments? At what point is there a substantial reduction in the studio apartments? And triggering the need for a land use review to look at the adjustment.
I know we have an expert here, but Jessica, if I would suggest you talk to Hillary.
So what I'm hearing from staff is that there's 48 units. Once they get under 40, they wouldn't need that adjustment anyway.
Yes.
So it's somewhere between 40 and 48. If they adjusted it, that doesn't sound like it's a substantial reduction. If they adjusted between 40 and 48, council might not necessarily interpret that as a substantial reduction in the studio apartments that should trigger additional land use review. I mean, that's your
What I'm hearing from the applicants is they have no intention of doing any conversions. So what I'm trying to do is to acknowledge that the neighborhood has expressed this concern, and I think that they have presented their concerns in a very helpful and supportive way that is very respectful of affordable housing, and wants, and actually they're asking to make sure it happens. So I think it would be very nice if we could get somewhere that they would have in writing that their concerns have been addressed, and I don't really mind exactly what it is.
May I ask a technical question?
No, I'm sorry, because we're in the council deliberations portion of this. I apologize.
May I ask council to ask me if I have any technical questions?
Commissioner Fritz, would you like to ask a question?
It's a nice one.
I just don't think we're allowed to.
Yeah,
I think what you're hearing from the council is we're reluctant to reopen the record on this. So I think the answer is respectfully no.
Okay, so I'm ready to restate my emotion in the appropriate language.
You have it?
Yeah.
He works fast.
Okay.
Deny the appeals and uphold the Historic Landmarks Commission's decision to approve the requested Block 162 apartments historic review with modifications and adjustments. Case file LU18-187493HRMAD.
So not adding any condition.
It just doesn't seem practical.
I don't see the need for a condition if we're talking between 48 and 40 apartments.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
And I'm sorry, I have to clarify, this is a tentative vote.
Thank you.
And we will take a final vote at a later date that will be determined. When will we determine that date?
We will determine it as soon as you vote, or yes. In the
perfect. Before
you go anywhere.
Go, assuming that the motion carries. Very good. Sorry. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you. So I do believe approval criteria was met. I don't believe errors were made in the review process, or if there were deviations from that process, that they would have resulted in a different outcome. I want to say on a personal note, like many Portlanders, I am overwhelmed by the rate of change in the city, and I don't like a lot of it. But in this case, I actually think that this is a much more attractive new development than I am seeing on our streets, and that the developer and architect has really gone to great lengths to meet the criteria, and I was actually a little confused by the brick building. I agree, it is so similar to some of the buildings in the neighborhood. I thought that it was an existing building that I remember being there, but it's actually a new one. I think a mixed streetscape is desirable, so whether that's mixed materials or contrast of textures or age of the buildings, heights and depths, like that adds to our built environment. So the fact that it may not be exactly the same as every other block in the district doesn't seem valid to me. Also, I would also love to guarantee that this is affordable housing and remains affordable housing. I have no reason to believe that it won't be. I don't believe that we can put restrictions on it, however, because none of the decisions made by BDS, PBOT, or the Historic Review Committee were contingent upon that affordability. And this would be an acceptable development, whether or not it was affordable. This is, in fact, extremely expensive real estate. The idea that it's going to be developed at two stories in keeping with the adjacent contributing structures is just unrealistic. I agree there's a balance to be struck between density, affordability, and preservation. I actually don't think it was perfectly met here because we could have gotten more units. And I don't believe that the developer came in at a higher height as a bargaining tactic, came in as a higher height because they were allowed to come in at a higher height by the existing zoning on the property. And I appreciate everything they've done to meet the requirements of the city. And with that, I vote aye.
Fritz.
First, thanks to Northwest Housing Associates. I'm feeling very happy that, and it was really difficult to say no in 2016. In fact, I was surprised that we got to no in 2016. That building really was out of character with the neighborhood, and this one isn't. This one's really nice. I'm very, very impressed with the work that you've done, and I appreciate that. Also appreciate the Historic Landmarks Commission. And their members who worked very, very diligently on this, in some cases under extreme pressure. And so thanks to Hilary Adam and Grace Jeffrey for your support of them and for this decision, which does say that it's for 148 units, new affordable housing units, including 48 senior units and 100 units of affordable workforce housing, and that no field changes are allowed. So I think it's quite clear in the record what's intended. Because it is Northwest Housing Associates, I'm very confident that you are going to get the funding and that this is going to move forward. So thank you very much for all you do for affordable housing as well as Northwest Pilot Projects and others. I think this is a remarkable project and I'm looking forward to seeing it done. And I will also say Commissioner Fish is out of the state on personal business, and I know he would say if he was here that A, he also is relieved that we got here after we said no to the other one, and also that people who live in affordable housing should not have to sacrifice design and that they get to live in really wonderful places with great design, and I think that's what we're going to get here, so thank you very much. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to start out by commending the Northwest District Association, Mr. Schwartz. As always, you do outstanding jobs in your presentations, and I appreciate that. I just, in this case, happen to disagree. And I do think, why I disagree is I do think the applicant has done an outstanding job this time around in really making the project look indistinguishable from much of the rest of Northwest Portland, the Alphabet District. And, you know, again, kudos to you for getting the Alphabet District designated as an historical landmark. It really is an outstanding array of largely multifamily developments. But as I saw the pictures being presented by the applicant, I said, wow, that looks just like, you know, the North Building looks just like the American Apartments on 21st and Johnson. And in fact, it sounds like they borrowed heavily from that. So it looks and feels a lot like Northwest Portland. And I'm sure once it's built, I'll walk down that street and I won't even notice that it's new construction or part of its new construction. So I think that it's... and then as with respect to the condition about requiring it to be 60% affordability, I think part of your concern was that you had a landmarks commission that was running amok with housing affordability. Well, think about that for a second. If you had a council that started attaching conditions to every new residential development saying, by golly, that's got to be 60% affordability, that's not, first of all, that's not fair to the projects that will come before us for approval. But it's probably not wise blanket public policy. And if it's not wise blanket public policy, it's not wise to do it as an individual condition on an individual project. As much as our hearts may all be there, And that may be the problem, is everybody wants to go there. But we have to also remember that it's a very complicated business to build affordable housing. Very complicated. As housing commissioner, I've always been baffled at the ability for these projects to actually break ground and happen, because there's so many complicated funding streams, bank loans, all that stuff. It just baffles me. So I think we landed at a good place. I think this will be a good project, and I hope there doesn't have to be any changes. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Wheeler.
So today I'm voting based on information that I heard today. Obviously, I was late to the hearing. I was elsewhere conducting city business. Today's vote's a tentative vote. I have read the staff reports. I've reviewed the materials that were provided by the, or that were submitted to the council clerk. Of course, prior to taking the final vote, I will review the portion of the hearing that I missed earlier on. However, based on the information that I have heard today, I vote aye. The motion carries. This is a tentative vote. The final vote will be
on December 19th at 10. Yeah, December 19th at 10:30.
So the final vote of the City Council will be on December 19th, 10:30 a.m., Portland City Hall Council Chamber. Thank you all who testified and provided testimony. We are adjourned.